My name is Zoe. I'm 20, and as John said, I'm from Dromore. I'm not going to stand here in front of you as some. No, I need to put this the right way. Born missionary who just wants to talk about Africa, okay, which I kind of do. But I'm just going to share something that I feel that God has put in my heart this morning for this place. I'm just going to read a wee bit of scripture first, if that's okay, that I feel the Lord has also put in my heart for this. So if you have a Bible, can you turn with me? I feel like a minister saying that. Okay, so Psalm 126. I'll give you a wee minute to find that. I'll just read it out. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are so filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And can I just pray quickly? Because it always makes me feel better. Father God, I pray, Jesus, that you just come, my Lord, and just take my mouth, Lord, and just speak through me, Lord, what you would have said, God. Lord, I know that I can't do this by myself, Lord. I'm so blonde, Lord, I'm so ditzy, I can't do it by myself, Lord. And I just pray, Jesus, that you just move through me, Lord. Just move through me, Jesus. You're so welcome here, Lord. Just take it, Lord, and use it, God. And calm this heart, for goodness sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, as I said, I'm Zoe, I'm 20. I'm at university, studying English and theology. Don't really know how that happened either. Am I talking really fast, by the way? Because I tend to do that. I'm here because I work with an organisation called Fields of Life. Has anybody ever heard of it? No. The people that I know, yeah. We're an organisation that's based in East Africa, in Uganda. Somewhere that's so, so, so dear to my heart. It's unbelievable. God has just put such a passion on my heart for the work that's going on out there and the work that Fields of Life are doing. I'll just give you a brief overview because that's normally what I do. I go to churches and do presentations about what God's doing and all. But today, God gave me a word and I feel I need to speak in that instead, which incorporates this in. But you'll see that later. So what Fields of Life do is we work with sponsorship. We get children into school. We get them out of slums. We get them into school. We get them an education. We get them... we give them a future, we give them hope, and that is genuinely what they do. I'm so passionate about this, it is unbelievable. I'm going there on Friday. I'm so excited, and my friend's going with me too. We're going for 3 weeks. This will be my third time. As you've seen, we build wells, bring them clean water, because, you know, on my first trip I went out here thinking that there was nothing, that they had nothing, that there was extreme poverty, but like, goodness me, God really opened my eyes to the way, the blessings that we have here. Like, those people have, and whenever I say they have nothing, like, I literally mean they don't even have, some of them children don't even have shoes on their feet, they don't have clothes. Some children don't have one meal a day, and that breaks my heart, because I feel like I have been given a, what's the word for that? Privilege upbringing, right? And I have been given the whatever to work out there. The, mum, give me the word. I don't know what the word is. You know what I mean. So really, that's why I'm here today. But so today I want to talk about how we can change the world. And you're probably all thinking, oh gosh, this girl's so blonde and wacko. She's trying to be a superhero, change the world. Which I kind of am. But with Jesus, okay? Once we add that last wee bit on, it kind of helps, okay? I just want to encourage us all that we have so much potential. Like, there's so much potential in this room to change the world. There is. Like, by ourselves, we can't do anything. But with Jesus, we have the potential. Now, I listed these out because I was so, like, on fire whenever I was writing this. I said, like, we have the potential to see people saved by their thousands. Right? And that is not something that I could do by myself or we could do by ourselves. But with God, people could come here on a Sunday morning in their thousands and get saved. Because if we have the faith to do so, we have the potential to see the deaf people hear, literally. We have the potential to see the blind people see. No, to see, yeah, you know what I mean? To see the dead people rise, if it's God's will. To see the orphans in homes, and that's one that's really dear to my heart, as I've said. And to see the hungry fed. We have the potential to do that because of the Almighty God that we serve. I made notes for this because I didn't want to forget anything, by the way. We have the potential to see people freed from bondage from sin. Yeah, amen. By the way, in Uganda, whenever they say amen, everybody else is like, amen. Right? So I want you to do that because I really wanted to do this. And also, if I say God is good all the time, they say all the time, God. Has anybody ever been to Africa? Well, I know two people have. Yeah, so you'll know this. Whenever they say God is good all the time, everybody else says all the time, God is good. Okay, it's unreal. And if I say hallelujah, you all have to say hallelujah too, okay? So, hallelujah. Thank you. I'm liking that encouragement, that enthusiasm. No, but seriously, like, we have the potential to see this world turned upside down for Jesus, right? And I want to put that passion on both my heart this morning. I want to revise that passion and on all of your hearts this morning that you can do this because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah? Amen. Amen. I think that today people, and this is including myself, has lost sight of the fact that whenever we're saved, we're automatically commissioned to go into all the world, as it says in Mark 16:15. You know, we're automatically commissioned to go into the streets of Enniskillen or the streets of Uganda or the streets of Drumore and just preach the gospel, preach the good news. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that there's a way out of this despair that they feel themselves in. Because, like, I don't know about you. It's like, I was thinking about this the other night and I genuinely don't know where I would be without Jesus. I don't know because even as a Christian, life is hard, okay? But we have Jesus to help us out and to guide us, even help us out, to just get us through. You know, so for all those people that don't, I genuinely don't know how they do it. I don't know. And I suppose then that is why sin has such a stronghold. Because you know yourselves, people are looking for something to cling on to. But we have the potential to stop that in Jesus' name, right? And I just want to get that out there because I feel so on fire with this at the minute. I think that sometimes people lose sight that we are part of the kingdom of God, that we are part of what's going on in heaven that is in our hearts right now. Like, that is in this room right now. Like, heaven is in this room. The potential that Jesus had and he went out and he touched someone and healed them right there and then. Like, that woman who was bleeding for 12 years, I think it was. Didn't plan to say this, but it's just coming to my head. She just touched Jesus and she was healed like that. We have that potential in our hearts to do that. We have that potential to go out there and see people healed on the streets and see people saved and see people just praising God. I don't want to cry. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. That blows my mind that out of all the billions of people on this earth, God chose us to be saved. And God chose us to go out there and see other people saved. Like, I just praise God for that. God is good. All the time. God is good. I didn't even plan that. Not, yeah, I'm a wee bit ditzy and blonde, okay? But God uses the lowly and the humble, all right? Yeah, like, now that we're saved, right, we're redeemed by Jesus, right, sin has, yes, we sin, we're never going to be perfect, we're a work in progress, right, but that's what God uses. God uses the people that are on the ground, God uses the people that are humble and that have problems to deal with. God uses those people because that's where he can be glorified. I must have been extremely passionate whenever I wrote this because I've got exclamation marks everywhere. I'm no longer living for myself, I'm living for Jesus, and it's the same for all of us. I know you know that, but I just want to encourage you with that. I know God wants to encourage us all with that this morning, me included. In order to be a people of the kingdom, we need to have two things, okay? This is what I felt God was laying on my heart. We need to have kingdom vision, and we need to have kingdom... Oh goodness, this is awful, I forgot another one. Perspective, I think it was. We'll come to that. So first of all, if we have kingdom vision, what does that mean? It means we need to see Jesus the way that Jesus sees. No, we need to see people the way that Jesus sees them. It means that we need to go out. You know, in James 1:27, it says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And, like, that's the orphans and the widows of Uganda, but that's the orphans and the widows of here. I'm just going to say that. That's the alcoholics of here. That's the depressed of here. That's the people that the world would walk by and just disregard. And as hard as that is, sometimes I really struggle with that because sometimes people can hurt you and it's hard to love them. But Jesus calls us to do that. Like, and I will freely admit that I struggle with that. But Jesus gets me through and he teaches me to do it. So religion, or I like to say godliness rather than religion, because this is more of a relationship. This is a relationship. It's not a religion. Yeah, we all know that. That's kind of like a wee Christian tagline. I'm not religious. I'm a Christian. I just love Jesus. So in other words, godliness that God accepts himself as pure, godliness that God accepts himself as upright, is just loving Jesus, and number two, loving people. And that's people everywhere. It's about seeing the people that the world disregards, yeah, I've already said that, and showing them the unfailing, never-ending love of Jesus. The unfailing love that goes as far as, if you're hurt, that you still love them, that you still push on into their lives to see breakthrough, because you will see breakthrough someday, you will, because that's what God promises. I'm a firm believer that when we do this, that the world can be changed, that the world can be turned upside down and put the right way up for Jesus. Yeah, in Romans 12:1, it says, "Therefore I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So although worship this morning was amazing, okay, worship, meeting with God in praise is amazing and God loves that, I believe that true worship as well, on the other side of the coin, is loving people and going out onto the streets and showing people the love of Jesus, because I believe that whenever someone is in a desperate situation, that if you go into that situation where nobody else would and you show them that you love them despite everything that has gone on in their lives, that changes people. Their hearts change. And we all know someone in our lives who we just show love to, right? Maybe we struggle with it, but we show love to, and you can see breakthrough coming in their life. You can see them changing. You can see their hearts softening. You can see them doing things that they wouldn't have done before, and that's just the power of God. He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. So you have a kingdom vision. Opening yourself to see the world around you and the people around you in love. And secondly, is a kingdom perspective. I was like, I remember praying about this and I felt this kingdom vision and kingdom perspective, and I was like, God, I don't even know what perspective means. Never mind talking about this. I was like, how the heck am I going to do that? So anyway, I did it anyway, because that's faith. Goodness me. So you've heard it many times before, the truth that this life is fleeting. And I remember, like in Sunday school, I remember this man getting up with this big long rope, right? And he was like, this is your tiny wee part of your life here on earth, on this rope. And then the rope goes on and on and on and on, and that's your eternal life. So that's your need to be saved, because this life is just preparation for getting saved, for getting into heaven. But I also believe that this life is preparing other people for heaven. You know, like I said, whenever you get saved, you're commissioned to go into all the world and preach the good news. I believe that this wee part of the rope, you know, we have a job. From the minute we are born, we have a job where you need to get saved. God wants us saved. But then the minute we get saved, we need to go out and tell people about God. We need to go out and see people saved. We need to see them experiencing the transforming power of Jesus. And that's a job that we have in that tiny little life. You know, your life on earth is what, maximum 80, 90, 100 years if you're lucky. And my granny's probably looking at me right now in disgust. But, you know, your life is literally 80 years. You know? And I think for a while, I was saved for a while. I didn't really want to tell anybody that I was Christian. I didn't want to tell anybody about God, because I felt that, well, they would look at me and think, oh, you're boring, you're one of those Christians. But I think now God has released me. I think I could say he's released me. Thank God for today. To just get out there and just be like, look, you need Jesus. You need to know that there's a God who loves you and there's a God who saves you. So, sorry, I've kind of lost my train of thought there. So, yes, we have a wee life this size, so we need to use it. We need to be kingdom people. We need to, you know, we're part of the kingdom of God now. Because we're saved, if you're saved here, and I hope you are. So why not get out there and expand that kingdom? Why not go out there and see your friends and your family, and even people maybe you don't like, why not get out there and see them be brought into the kingdom of God? See them be transformed by the power of Jesus and make that kingdom much bigger. I didn't mean that to get very loud. So yeah, I work in a clothes shop in Oma, right? And all these people came in yesterday, and you'd want to hear the amount of times that I heard them saying, "Oh, I can't believe it's the 1st of August, time flies," and all this here. And I was like, yeah. But, like, that's life. Life moves on quickly. It goes very fast. Christmas is only 5 months away. No, I don't want to scare yous. But, you know, your life goes fast. Let's just use it for Jesus, guys. Let's just do this. Let's just do this right and just get out there and tell them about him. And not be wasting any more days. Like, I'm talking to myself here too, because I always need to pump myself up and encourage myself. But from the day, this is a bit of a morbid thought, but I feel I had to say it. From the day that we're born, our bodies are decaying. Yeah? Our earthly bodies are decaying, but our soul lives on forever. And I think that's the most amazing thought. And I remember when I was smaller, Mum explained it to me. She's like, your soul is eternal. It lasts forever. And you just put on this body that lasts 90 years. And whenever your 90 so years are up, you zip it off, you take it off, and your soul either goes to heaven or hell. And I just think that is the most amazing thought ever. That we will never die. Our earthly bodies will die. But our spirits and our souls will never die. You know, so if that soul belongs to Jesus, why not work for him here? You know, I heard a girl in university saying to me, "Zoe, there must be more than this." And I looked at her, and you can imagine my explanation. Like, I was like, "You what?" I was like, "What do you mean there's more than this?" She's like, "Well, I just go out," and she'd been to like some club in Belfast or something. She's like, "I'm just fed up with this drinking crack." And I was like, I've heard this several times before. But she goes, "There must be more than this." And I was like, "Well, there is more than this." I was like, "Do you not understand my faith?" I was like, "My faith never ends. Not my faith personally, but the faith that Jesus gives me never ends. My eternal home will never be taken away from me." Do you know what I mean? There's so much more to life. The devil has just clouded their eyes to the fact that drinking and drugs and all of that is all there is. That's the only pleasure that they can have. You know, but thank God, literally, our eyes have been opened to the fact that that's not all there is. That is like the worst part of this world. Like, we have experienced everything else that brings joy. Everything, like the presence of God, healing, everything that God brings, the joy that he brings, like, is it not unbelievable? Amen. I love doing that. I feel so African whenever I do that, not gonna lie. But you know what I mean? Like, the joy that God brings is just immense. And, like, it's a wild thought to think that there's people out there, even friends of mine, who have never experienced that joy ever, ever, ever in their entire lives. That is a crazy thought. Because that's the only thing in my life. You know, Jesus is the only thing in my life that actually makes me want to live. You know, if I didn't have my faith, I wouldn't want to be here. There's no point. There's no point. I'm just let me find myself here. Yeah, so we have a kingdom vision and a kingdom perspective. So kingdom vision, seeing people the way that Jesus sees them, seeing them through the eyes of God, and a kingdom perspective, living life, knowing that your life is for God and only God. Yes, I want to get married, I want to have children, I want to live somewhere, I want to work, but also just that all encompasses Jesus. I want Jesus to be the center of all of that. I want Jesus to be the center of my marriage, of my children, everything. Do you see where I'm coming from? Am I making sense? I'm making sense in my head, but sometimes that's a scary thing. So just see your life as a vessel for God. And that's why I felt, well, I would say chose Psalm 126, but I also felt God laid it on my heart. I'm just going to read it again because I just think it's unbelievable. So I'm just going to read it here now. "When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.'" So there it's like us. We're saved from our bondage. And I know this is about the people out of the exile. But I translate this as well in my life, that the Lord saved us from our exile, from our sin, from our eternal fire, from going to hell. And the Lord has done great things for us, and he gives us that joy, and he gives us dreams, and he fills our mouths with laughter and songs of joy. Like, he does do that. And then I thought the second half of this is just unbelievable, because not only are they praising God for the way that he has saved them, in the way that he saves us, but then they're going back and they're praying for the people who are still in exile. Like, so it's like us going back and praying for the people out in the streets of Enniskillen or the people on the streets of Uganda who need help and who need saved. And do you know, even in Uganda, things as small as shoes, showing them the love of God, things as small as getting them into school, teaching them about Jesus, teaching them that we are there because Jesus told us to go. You know, I just think that Psalm 126 is just incredible. And I didn't even really read into it before this until God really opened my eyes to it. I just think that's incredible. And then it says, restore their fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So it's about praying for your brothers and your sisters in Christ and outside of Christ. It's about praying that for the brothers and sisters who are in Christ, who are maybe on the mission field now in Enniskillen or in Uganda or wherever, it's about praying that they see a harvest. It's about praying that they see people saved and they see all the things that I've talked about. It's about then praying for your brothers and sisters who are not in Christ, who are in bondage to alcoholism, who are in bondage to everything else. You know yourself, I don't need to explain it. And that's mission. That's mission. That's what God wants us to do as children of His. He doesn't want us to sit in a corner like I did for years and not tell anybody about Jesus and just think, okay, I just got the salvation to myself. And I know I was still saved, but I didn't tell anybody. I didn't get out there and work for God. You know, he wants it to be bursting out of our hearts. He wants that joy to be overflowing, not just in here whenever we're worshiping, but whenever we go out into our work tomorrow or university or whatever. He wants that joy to be overflowing so much that people are like, wowza, what is wrong with her? Like, what has she got? Like, is she hiding something? And then I just be like, yeah, I'm hiding Jesus. I'm hiding the Spirit of God. No, I wouldn't say that. But, well, I probably would. But you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think, like, and this is me I'm talking to today. Excuse me, I caught my breath there. This is me I'm talking to as well. So recently God revealed something to me. And this is probably what he's revealed to you too, but this is just my time of revelation, okay? So he's gonna deal with it. So he revealed to me, right, this such a simple truth that every morning that you waken up, every morning that God wakens you from your sleep, is a miracle in itself. And every morning that you have a breath, every minute that you have a breath, God will bring someone or something into your path. I believe so. Every day, because I don't believe he put you on this earth for no reason for another day. You know what I mean? So I've started praying, and this has nothing to do with me. This is God telling me, this is God just being gracious to me and instructing me to do this. So I've started praying every morning, God, who have you got for me to minister today? To today? Who have you got for me to show the love that you have for them in some small way? Who have you got for me? Like, give me an opportunity today just to speak to somebody about God, and also give me the boldness to do it, because sometimes the devil can make you very weary in speaking up for Jesus, and I understand that too. But just give me the boldness to do that, and he has. And I just think this is incredible. Every morning that you get up, there's somebody in the world on this planet that you're going to minister to, that you're going to show Jesus to. Like, I just think that's incredible. That is incredible that God could do all that himself, but yet he chooses to use us. He doesn't just leave us sitting in the corner saved, right? This is all my saved people. You just get over there and sit down and be quiet until you die. He brings us all out and he says, right, you go and speak to this person and you see this person saved, or you see this person healed, or you plant a wee seed in this person's life. Like, I think that's incredible that he would use us as a vessel for him. Like, the God of this universe who made all this in 7 days, that he would use someone like me to speak to somebody in work or wherever, or even that I'm standing here. Like, that has just dawned on me. I can't believe I'm actually standing up here. That has literally just dawned on me, because I've always done like presentations, but I've never like actually done like a sermon thing. But anyway, there you go. So yeah, every day he brings something new to you, and today I bring Uganda, the people of Uganda. You know, there's two things if all my family and friends would be able to tell you about me, is that I love Jesus and that I'm Africa obsessed. Like, I love the African culture, the African people, their smiles, their songs, their laughter, everything about them. God has given me such a passion for them. Those children are the most beautiful things in the whole world. And today, yeah, I bring those children to you and I ask for you to pray for them and pray for them and pray for them that they will be taken out of the poverty that they're in. And that's happening, God's moving, but we need more prayer. I ask that you join with me prayerfully to pray for them just every day. And you're not, you know, I used to think, like, how is my prayer making an impact on an entire continent? Like, how does that happen? But then God told me that no matter what, that the prayer that comes out of my mouth goes straight to heaven and God hears it and he moves. And somebody's life changes that day. What a thought. What a thought. So I'm asking you to pray for these children. Pray that they'll be protected from any type of abuse. Pray that they'll get into school. Pray that they have a meal a day to survive. Pray that they have clothes on their back, shoes on their feet. And I also bring before you children that I have with me today that need sponsored. And this is not me begging for money, okay? Because if it's on your heart, do it. If it's not, that's fine. I won't be offended at all because it's God that speaks, not me, okay? Anything that you take from today is God, not me. But I do have children. This is what I would normally do, is do a presentation and talk about how we raise money for wells and stuff like that there and sponsorship. And we'd normally get sponsors. But today I just feel like it's all about sponsorship because we were praying for somewhere to speak so I could get children or sponsors for these children, because I know the difference, the life-saving difference that this makes in a child's life. It is incredible. It is incredible. And for 17, like, look at this wee face. Like, she's called Ruth. Do you not think she's so cute? Look at the wee darling, the wee school uniform. No, seriously, like, it's £17 a month, which is less than 56p a day. And before I started sponsoring, I was like, God, I don't know if I can afford that. I was like, I don't even have a proper job. Yeah, I have a wee part-time job. But God spoke to me and he said, you know what? If you step out in faith and you just do this and you say you're going to provide for this child on the other side of the world, I'll provide it. And do you know what? I have never, I don't know what way to put this, have had now, within reason, as much money as I have had, as I have today. And now that means probably like, okay, but let's not go into that. But I still shop in Primark, don't worry. But no, £17. I remember saying this in a church before. Like, that's the price of a Domino's pizza or a Top and Top Shop. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not very much. It's less than 56p a day. And it genuinely, and I know that charities are very hard to trust. I do acknowledge that. And I don't know which charities to trust. But Phase of Life is a Christian base. Jesus is at the centre of every day in Phase of Life. And this money is going directly to these children. And it gives them a uniform. It puts them in school all year, which has the effects that that has is incredible. The way that God has worked through that is incredible. Children, you girls aren't being abused. They're not having to walk so long to get water. They have a meal a day. They have a uniform. They have shoes. They have school supplies. They have medical intervention where they need it. It's incredible. Like, and I don't, Phase of Life take no glory for this. This is just all God. There's over 50,000 children have been put through education in Phase of Life. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Like, isn't God so good? I just think he's so good. I just think he's so good. So if that's on your heart, I don't want to talk any more about that, because I hate whenever people come to church and are like, yeah, we need money, da 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 da. If that's on your heart, come and talk to me. Okay, and if it's not, I promise I don't mind. It's up to God. But I just want to read out, how long have I been speaking for, by the way?
30 minutes.
Shut up, I have not. Say honest. Mercy. Well, you'll be glad to know I'm finished now. Well, I'm not finished yet, but give me 2 minutes. I'm nearly finished. So basically what I wanted to bring to you today is that you have so much potential in your heart. Not because you're with loads of people today, but I mean individually. The potential that you have in your heart and in your soul is incredible for Jesus. But you just need to get out there and you just need to do it. You just need to go for it. And don't let anybody put you down. Don't let anybody tell you that you're taking it too far. Because there's been plenty of people who have told me that I'm taking this Africa thing too far, okay? But God says I haven't, so it's okay. No, but seriously. And I want to read you out. This is a song which, well, I think I only heard it this week, but it just spoke to me so much. It was incredible. And I thought I was going to lose my voice on the way down the road because I was singing that much to it. But it's by Bethel Music, and you'll probably know it. This is the words of it. Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship you, to worship you. I'm a lover of your presence, a passion stirring deep inside. You're all that really satisfies. We worship you, we worship you. And that's basically what we are. If we've really given our lives fully to God, we are a living sacrifice to God. You know, and God can use you. If God can use me, he can use you. And I'd say you're far more equipped than I am, okay? But seriously, just give it to God. Just ask him today, what will I have you do? What will he have you do? And today, but also in your life. And do you know what? I would say if we all did that this evening, the potential, oh my goodness. Can you imagine what God would do? Like, it's incredible. It is incredible. But I'm just going to finish on that. Can I just pray, actually? I'll pray quickly, don't worry. Father God, I just thank you for your goodness, Lord. You're so good to us, God. You're so good to us, Lord. And I just praise your name, Jesus. I thank you, God, that we are in your kingdom, God. That we are part of heaven right now, Lord. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would give us that kingdom vision, Lord, to see the people as you see them, Jesus. To see them, Lord, in all the hurt that they have, Lord. Father God, I pray for that kingdom perspective, Lord, that we can see our lives as a vessel, God, to see other people saved, Jesus. I pray, God, put it on our hearts today, God, what you would have us do, Jesus. And we just pray all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to me, too. Are you going to come up and tell me off or something? Do you know he told me this thing here was my first chance of being Britney Spears? I was like, that's a bit of old school, okay. Try One Direction or something like that.
You're grand, don't apologise. Is this on? Can we put this on? Do we need, are we on? It's happening, good stuff. Okay, Zoe, thank you. Did I tell you at the start, youthful exuberance? And she has that, and she has passion. And I love that. I think that's great. And what I would love more than anything, and the Uganda thing, I think is great. I think that the work that Zoe does and the organisation that she's a part of, what they do is incredible. And there's several people in this room where you've been to different parts of Africa. You've seen the need and the poverty that's there. So we don't need to tell you about that. But do you know what I would love? That exuberance that Zoe has, that passion that she has, that it's almost like when you're her age, when I can remember when I was 20, it was kind of distant now. But and when you have that, it doesn't matter what people think. You don't really care what people think. We need to be more like that, don't we? So much when you become a maturer Christian, if we can use that, I don't like that word, but you know what I mean. As we grow older in the faith, and we start to lose something. And I want to do a couple of things. I want to pray for Zoe that she never ever loses that. It's important that she keeps that. But I want us to have that. You know where she's talking about, we might not necessarily be called to Africa, everybody else in this room. At this point in her life, Zoe is. But we all have a mission field. If you live in Drumore, it might be Drumore. If you live in Kesh, it might be Kesh. If you live in Tempo, it might be Tempo. You live in Enniskillen, it might be Enniskillen. Or wherever you live, it could be there. And that is your mission field. You're as much called to be a missionary as Zoe is at this point in time. It might just be that when you look at the window in the morning, you see something different from what she'll see when she's in Uganda. But what she has shared this morning, more than anything else, essentially is this. We are called to get up off our bums and go out and communicate to other people what Jesus has done in our lives and tell them, because we're not going to see change in our society or wherever we're at unless we do that. Because Jesus is the hope of the nation. And it's him that can change things. So do you want to stand? Mm-hmm.
Does everybody want to put out your hands? Just as if, I didn't really plan to do that either, just feel God wants us to do that. Just as if you're receiving something from him. So God, would just welcome me here, Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, would you just come? Holy Spirit, would just welcome your presence here, Lord, in double portion, Father. Oh Lord, would you just come? Lord, you're so welcome in this room right now, Jesus. Where you're welcome, Lord, to do your work in hearts right now, Jesus. We don't even need to say that, Lord. But God, we just open ourselves to you right now, Lord. God, would you just speak right now, Jesus, into hearts, God. Because God, you are a father who loves his children. You are a father who loves his children. And you have a gift for somebody here, Lord. Just pray, God, would you just speak, Lord. Lord, would you just breathe in this place, God? Just pray. Lord God, we pray for a passion to fall in this room, Lord, like we've never experienced it before, Jesus, that you would fall, that your spirit would fall with a passion, Jesus. A passion, Lord, and an excitement, Lord, that just never leaves, Jesus, that never leaves, Lord. Pray, God, that you would awaken souls in this place, God, to your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd fill us up so much, Jesus, that our souls are just jumping, Lord, that we're just so overwhelmed with excitement, Lord, about what you're going to do with us, Jesus, what you're going to do in us, in our lives, Lord, in this place, Jesus. I pray, God, fill this place to overflowing, Lord, with your spirit, God. Father God, we pray that you would ignite our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, with that excitement that I believe that Jesus had when he was walking this earth, Lord. I pray, God, ignite every heart in this room, Lord. Everybody, Jesus, right now, God, just ignite hearts, Lord. Ignite hearts, God, for you, Jesus. Place, Father God, I just believe that you're placing something like a burden on people's hearts right now for a certain part of the world, Lord. And I don't know where that is, God, but I pray just do that, Jesus. You're so welcome to do that, Jesus. I thank you, God, that we're all here for this reason, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that every single one of us has that capability, Lord, to change the world. And I don't say that lightly. God, I pray, would you just, I just see a real just igniting of souls right now. God, I pray, just let that passion burn deep inside like a fire, Lord. Let it just roar up, God, I pray. And that's just your Holy Spirit, Lord. That's so biblical, Lord. We just pray, God, that you let that happen, Lord, right now, Lord. You just give that free reign, Lord. And we just speak against everything the enemy would throw at us right now, God. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, would you just ignite this room in the name of Jesus, Father, that every single head bowed, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is literally pouring around, pouring in, Lord. That we're breathing in your Holy Spirit, God. That we're breathing out doubt and fear and anxiety, Lord, and belief that we can't do it, Jesus, because we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. Everything through Christ who gives us strength. Everything. And I just speak that over these people now, God. I speak life and I speak hope, God. I speak, Lord God, I pray, Jesus, that they would be carriers of your hope, Lord, that they would go into all over the world, Lord, that they would deposit wee pockets of hope everywhere, God, and then that would spread out, Lord, and spread out and spread out and spread out, Lord, that whenever you come and meet us, Lord, that they would see all the people that you brought to you, Father, through them, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Just thank you so much for your presence, God. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That's the passion that I want us to have. And I think there's people here, and you know, you feel a bit different right now, just while Zoe was praying. But if there's anybody here and you feel that your feet are on fire, can you put up your hand? You've got hot feet. They feel tingly. They don't feel the same as they were when you stood up. Is there anybody here who feels that? We only want to pray for you. It's not a bad thing. Does anybody feel that burning sensation in their feet is a good thing. Father, I ask for more passion. I pray, Lord, that we would feel your spirit would burn. And Father, I just pray now for the people who you've called to share your word specifically as evangelists. I pray your blessing on them right now in the name of Jesus. The people where you have anointed their mouths and their tongues to share your word. I ask you to release your anointing for that now on their lips in the name of Jesus. And you would release that anointing on their feet right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the passion that Zoe has, that you would have that 100-fold right now in the name of Jesus. More passion. I break the power of the fear of man right now as well in Jesus' name. The fear of what other people think. And I pray that we would be like youngsters again. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Doesn't it matter what age you are. I pray a new release of passion. Passion for your name, passion to see your name glorified in Fermanagh. So now I think there's people here and you have that funny feeling in your feet, but you have a funny sensation in your mouth as well. Or your jaw might be quivering, or your tongue feels like you've got pins and needles. And I believe that that's the Lord has anointed your mouth for the words that you need to use, but he's anointed your feet for the places where he's going to take you. So if that is you, we would love the opportunity to pray for you. And you might be embarrassed about that. That's okay. So as well as that, if there is anybody here and you're sick, you're unwell, you've got a condition that you don't want to have, then we would love the opportunity to pray for you for that as well. Is there anybody here and you have difficulty in hearing in your left ear? Can we pray for that specifically? Good job. Fantastic. Anybody else have problem with hearing in their left ear? Not anymore. Does anybody have any problems with hearing in either of their ears? You have. Really? I never knew that. Can we pray for you about that? In your right ear? You the same? Wow. Can we pray for that? So good. No fantastic that you have hearing issues. But does anybody else have any issues with their hearing? Does anybody have tinnitus? You have that as well? Oh. Does anybody else have that? Like the ringing in your ears thing? You have that? Ah. Can we pray for you about that? Okay. Anybody else? Any issues with their hearing? If it further entices you and you do have, I don't see the reason why God would highlight it, and that there's at least four people in the room with that, and that he wouldn't do anything. Anybody else with any issues with hearing? What about you can't hear sounds on the higher register that you don't hear? Is there anybody here with that? I'm not making this up, and it might sound like I'm clutching at straws, but is there anybody that when you hear high-pitched noises, you just don't hear them? If there is, say to somebody, we would love the opportunity to pray for you. But so if we can have some people pray for Richard at the back in the pink shirt, Zelda, who stood here with the blonde hair, and for Linda and for Jamie, if you pray regularly, would you go and would you lay hands on them and be as bold as to say, hey, do you mind